And now we're going to have our interview with Ben Sheldon. Good morning, Ben.
Morning, Charlotte.
Good morning, Jules.
Good morning.
Want to tell me a little bit about what you boys are thinking of?
Yeah, so both of us are coming over from UMass Boston, where we work on a program that tries to build the capacity of individual nonprofit organizations through media and technology. And the way we do that is we place AmeriCorps Vista members with organizations for a year. AmeriCorps Vista is the domestic equivalent of the Peace Corps, and we actually have several AmeriCorps Vista members serving right up here in Lowell, two at UTEC and one at LTC.
Yeah, we had Tommy from LTC up here his first week talking about, you know, orientation and what he sees in his future, and he's got a great radio voice. Maybe we should bring him up on a regular basis.
Oh, that'd be great. So sort of what Jules and I here are going to be talking about today is we work with a lot of different nonprofit organizations. Over the past 8 years, our own organization has worked with over 200 nonprofit organizations with about 200 different individual AmeriCorps Vista members. And Jules and I haven't been there for that long. But both of us have been working in the nonprofit sector for a while and trying to, you know, implement a lot of sort of capacity building projects to build sort of the effectiveness of individual organizations. And sort of today we just wanted to talk about some of the challenges that we see and a lot of sort of, I guess, the memes, the ideas that are sort of floating around in the nonprofit space.
Okay, Jules, can you put something into that? Tell us what you've been doing.
Well, for the organization, I've been basically putting together special trainings and different things for the AmeriCorps Vistas that are around the United States. We found that a lot of times the Vistas that we are placing have a lot of technology skills, but when you go to a nonprofit, a lot of times other things kind of jump out at you. You go there thinking that you're going to build a database, and in the end you're doing grant writing and you're mediating discussions between your board and executive director and different types of problems like that. So we've been trying to address those issues by having special trainings for the Vistas to kind of be prepared for those things to jump out at them.
I think, you know, a lot of things we see is both Jules and I, you know, we're here, we're under 30 years old. We're, I guess, one of the younger generation. And I think, you know, a lot of younger people, especially the millennials, I think, feel a lot of maybe frustration or just trying to, you know, make their mark in the world. And I know sort of with a lot of my friends, I think maybe when I talk to my mom, you know, 30 years ago, when people wanted to make change, they went into the government. You know, they wanted to go into politics. And these days, a lot of my friends, I don't mean to speak for everyone, but sort of a lot of my friends, people I know, that really want to make a change in the world, they go into the nonprofit sector. You know, they'll start their own organization, they'll try to become a staff member. Basically, they want to, you know, work a job within the nonprofit sector. And I think a lot of the frustrations that Jules is talking about from when we work with Vista members that are just entering an organization for the first time stems from, you know, them trying to bring their very large, broad vision for change down sort of into a much narrower job description. And I think a lot of frustration comes out of that just because, you know, with nonprofit organizations, there's a much narrower, I guess, focus of what they can be working on. And last week, we did a great training on sort of the structure, the legal structures, regulatory structures of nonprofits. And sort of the main thesis idea that came out of that was that sort of nonprofits have a very specific sort of role of providing services, providing help to people. But at the same time, they're sort of constrained in how much of an actual impact they can have upon society as a whole.
So what you're saying is, getting back to community, the bottom line is getting involved with the community to make the changes.
Yeah, I agree. I guess there has kind of been a shift, I think, from government providing certain types of services to the community and then shifting that, well, burden, those actions onto nonprofits when theoretically those nonprofits should actually be advocating for changes in the system in and of itself. You know, it's the old quandary of when you're working around domestic violence issues, a lot of times people that would be more inclined to actually changing the way men and women actually interact with each other, which would change domestic violence, they're actually more, they are more engaged in trying to keep statistics on how many people are being serviced by psychologists, different things like that. They're more gatekeepers versus like game changers.
Yeah, I think, you know, with that, a lot of, you know, when you're looking at organizational like program metrics, like how successful is this program, you're much more looking at, say, for like domestic violence, were we able to, you know, did we increase the number of women that we were serving by 20% in the past year, as opposed to what you should really be looking at if you're changing society is, did we have to service 20% less women this year? Or sort of, you know, you're trying to reduce these type of awful things happening in society, not necessarily provide more Band-Aids for it.
Yeah, take care of the health before you get sick, not take the medicine after you're sick.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, a lot of nonprofits, or I think just the nonprofit sector in general, that we're looking at very much of trying to cure the symptoms rather than actually looking at the causes.
Do you see any changes coming? Have you? Is there any group in particular that you've seen thinking in this this light?
I think, you know, it's sort of a tough road to travel, especially with nonprofit organizations as sort of a legalistic, like 501c3 organization, that the opportunities there for a nonprofit as a nonprofit quasi-corporate structure is difficult because of the sort of rules that are placed on them and their incorporation. Sort of with nonprofit organizations, they're ruled very much by the tax code, which gives them a sort of narrow area that they can focus on, which is primarily providing services.
Right.
They're very much constrained that nonprofit organizations can't do extensive lobbying. They can't promote sort of, for the most part, politics is a world that nonprofits have to stay out of. And I think, you know, it becomes difficult because if you think of, you know, not that necessarily I ascribe to governments are the answer to everything, but at the same time, you know, a lot of where things start is with the government, with the laws that govern our lands.
So you're suggesting that perhaps the 501c3 law should be broadened a little bit so that it could include maybe outreaching educational type?
I think it's not necessarily that the 501c3 needs to be broadened, but I think people perhaps, when people are looking to be changing society or, you know, making impact in the world, I think that they need to broaden their horizons beyond just working within a nonprofit, is sort of adding on an advocacy component to what they do in their lives, not necessarily through a nonprofit, but sort of if people are looking to make a broader impact, to have a more open mind about the avenues to do so.
Yeah, I agree. I guess around those issues, the idea that you don't need to invest in the 501c3 structure versus just trying to do it, make sure that services are being provided by someone. Doesn't have to be a nonprofit, just making sure that somebody's providing these services and to still be able to be able to give your voice to the issues that are being that you're seeing in your community. To not feel that you're answering to someone just to make sure that these services keep continuing, that you have the agency to be able to advocate for the ideas that you know will benefit your community. For me, coming from the New Orleans area, found that a lot of times the nonprofit sector is kind of like helping in the rebuilding, but a lot of times that rebuilding is being done by community members, and they're kind of seeing themselves that they don't need to invest in the 501c3 to be able to, or a nonprofit structure to be able to make these changes on the ground, that they can just basically bring together interested community members who could be nonprofits, but they could also be universities, they can also be governmental entities that sort of don't have an ear to the ground and really understand what they need to do to be able to help the community that they're situated in, bringing together different partners to be able to get certain things done versus just to invest all your time and energy into one structure.
That could go right down to neighborhoods, just partnering in neighborhoods and let it blossom from there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think, you know, I totally agree with what you say, Jules. I think that it really comes down to, you know, I think we place a lot more emphasis into sort of these structures than we place really into sort of people and trying to, you know, really get down to what do we as individuals, as human beings, you know, we're compassionate, we're caring, you know, what's the kind of society we want to build? And I think, you know, with nonprofit organizations, they're very much sort of in the sort of intermediary stage, I guess, between, you know, the world we have today and the problems, you know, that we want to solve and sort of the vision for the future and say the type of society we really want to build. And I think, you know, it's important to sort of look at this as this intermediary stage of, you know, these are the tools that we want to use to build a larger society. But at the same time, the nonprofit, you know, we don't want to, our vision for the future isn't a society of nonprofits. I think, you know, they're very much this, you know, they're a Band-Aid for building the type of place we want to have, but not necessarily the end goal.
So do you see it like a bridge to what we could do?
Yeah, yeah, I think...
I don't mean that literally, but I think that some of the things that they have... when they initially started nonprofits, their cause was important. And then as they got into it, it seems more like it changed. It became almost a bureaucracy, which is my favorite word lately. And they're not seeing the cause of what they were there for in the first place.
I think all of us, you know, the idea I think of when I think of my nonprofit job is I want to be working myself out of this job. I want to be putting in place, you know, sort of action structures that aren't going to need me, sort of creating that sort of change that's going to live on beyond, say, this one thing I've created.
Yeah, and I guess making sure that change... A lot of times I think we put more emphasis into the service or the things that we provided versus the change that has to happen on the community level or on the government community level to make sure that these things happen. If, you know, if it's a food kitchen, whatever it is, a lot of times there's something that's not being met in the community that the nonprofit is. It's either making sure that government actually sees that those things are provided for or empowering a community to on their own be able to have that power, be able to have the avenues to be able to address issues that are happening there. So I think, yeah, just giving communities the power to be able to advocate for themselves is an important role that nonprofits need to play. And I really keep that in mind when they're both devising services and figuring out, like, how do I work myself out of a job? It's going to be by empowering the community to take over this job.
By giving a man a fishing pole instead of the fish.
And to be able to also farm if they need to, or contact somebody else that can ship in, that like have all the avenues open for a person.
The thing that I see happening locally, where we're such a diverse community, and the nonprofits here, that's their major thing. Some of them are geared toward one particular community, and another one might be geared toward three communities. And to get all the communities to come together and understand what's being offered and what's available is one of the most difficult things there is. So with this kind of an operation that you two are envisioning, people would know who was who. They could reach to each other instead of reaching to a major conglomerate. Am I right in my analysis of that?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially if we work in media and technology, that those types of just communications, these days, you know, technology is making it so much easier, but at the same time, keeping that human component and really trying to connect with, you know, with your community and having, I guess, really substantive dialogue and, you know, being able to raise those type of questions and issues and saying, you know, this is the vision we'd like to have for our community. These are the changes we would like to see. I think having it's a large part of, I think, you know, nonprofit organizations, communities, to really create avenues to have those types of dialogue and discussions that, you know, it's really important to be talking to your neighbor. And just within organizations, within communities, the nonprofit community up here in Lowell, having dialogue between organizations, both within the community and also within other communities that are providing similar services, and really trying to drive them to work together or to share ideas and to share solutions.
Right. I could go on with this forever, but right now we're running out of time. I want to thank both of you for making the trip all the way in from Boston this morning. And I'm sorry I couldn't get you a nice fresh cup of coffee from my house. But again, thank you, Jules. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Thank you.
91.5 FM, WUML, Lowell. You must listen.